May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in His holy word. Let us turn to the book of the Proverbs, chapter 4, and we'll read the last five verses, verses 23 to 27. So the Proverbs, chapter 4, and reading verses 23 to 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It really is quite wonderful to think how the Spirit of God directed King Solomon to write so much detail in the Proverbs. We know that not all the Proverbs, of course, were written by him, but most of them were. And we're thankful that God gave him that wisdom. We know that God promised to give him that wisdom when he was given the option to choose whatever he wanted to. And he was given grace to ask that he might be given wisdom. And that, of course, was given to him abundantly in his life, and he was able to write down these proverbs, and we read a little of his poetry, but he wrote very much poetry which is not recorded. So he was a man greatly gifted under the favour of God. And so Proverbs, I suppose, is not preached from as much as it should be. There are many gracious words, gracious directions in the book of the Proverbs, and I suppose if we were more thorough in our reading and consideration, our lives might be quite a bit different to what they are if we followed the words of the Proverbs. Well, this evening we'll just speak from these last five verses in this fourth chapter. They are linked together, and therefore they're not separated as such. And we commence with the heart. The heart. And, well, we're told to keep our heart. And how are we told to keep it? With diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. You may say, well, how are we to keep our heart? Well, we are to endeavour to direct our thoughts and our words to things which are good and righteous and honourable, and not to involve ourselves in things which are contrary, are the opposite. And yet, you see, our nature as such very easily runs after those things which are not good. And yet here we are told to keep thy heart and be diligent. We're often not diligent in the things that we do. We do things perhaps in a careless way, not diligent to realise the relevance of many things, to search out whether they are right or whether they are wrong. We just sometimes accept things, accept what people say, and We follow the comment, well, there's no wrong in that, and that'll be all right, and we think, well, that's good, I can involve myself in that. And we don't realise that by involving us in things which do not profit, they affect our soul. And it is that which is needed, therefore, to remember we are directed to keep our heart with all diligence. It's hard to be diligent sometimes in the things of life. Many things, many pressures crowd in, and we think, well, we needn't really be too diligent about that. But here, the Word of God tells us very carefully and very powerfully that we are indeed to keep, therefore, our heart. Our heart really is the centre of our affections. It's really our mind as well. And therefore, so much emanates from our very heart. There are many, many words in the Word of God directing us with regard to our heart. And one of the, perhaps we might think, earlier statements occurs in Jeremiah. And it's in Jeremiah 17 and Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. And this is what we're told about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Again, that's something we just need to ponder over with regard to our heart. It's deceitful. It deceives us. The devil's deceitful. The devil was deceitful to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he hasn't changed, and he's still deceitful today. And therefore he comes and tempts us. He puts deceitful things into our heart. And so we have this statement. The heart is. It's not a doubtful statement. It's a fact. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We don't like to think of that perhaps, that our heart is desperately wicked. But again, it's good sometimes just to meditate upon the truth of God's word and to think, well, what have I been thinking today? Has it all been good thoughts? Have I had any wrong thoughts, any evil thoughts, any sinful thoughts? And I'm sure if we're honest, we will find that our hearts have wandered this way and that way. And so we can understand this statement. Our heart is deceitful above all things. Then he uses this strong word, desperately wicked. Something which is desperate, well, it is something which needs to be dealt with. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then Jeremiah goes on in the next verse. He tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, which means really our innermost being, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So let us realize that the devil, on the one hand, is deceitful, trying to deceive us, trying to turn our heart from good things to bad things, and then to realize, on the other hand, we have a God who is searching us to see whether we're going to listen to the devil, whether we're going to obey what he says, and be coerced into wrong thoughts, perhaps wrong words, perhaps wrong actions. And so we have words of advice and words to direct us and words of comfort. And we should therefore be concerned that we take on board these great and important truths. And then also Solomon says, he tells us about six things that he hates. It's interesting to realize these six things that the Lord hates, even seven, are an abomination to unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Well, that's a list, isn't it? Reasonably comprehensive. to direct us and to keep us, as Solomon says, there are six things which are an abomination unto him. And this one is a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations are things, of course, which we just imagine in our heart. Things in reality don't come to pass. But our evil heart goes after such things and panders to the temptation of Satan. How easily we're taken in, and how easily we have to realize that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so we are told to keep our heart. What does that mean? Well, it means, I believe, that when temptations come into our mind, which they will, and be sure all of us will have temptations, we're not to dwell on them, we're to turn away from them. We're to thrust them away and pray the Lord will take them away, because we know they won't benefit us, and we know all they will do is to produce sin. And so it's important that we seek for grace to turn away from them. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, he spoke about this. There was that wonderful Sermon on the Mount that he preached. He preached some great and solemn truths in that. And in the sixth chapter, we read about some of these things. And the Lord Jesus tells us in these things what we are to do, and indeed what we are not to do. So in Matthew 6, verse 21, we are told this: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That means things that we think about a lot and like to think about, and to realize, therefore, that if we think about them a lot, it's because they are valuable to our minds. They may not be good, they're probably not, and yet we're told where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then naturally, of course, we can have things which we can value, which we're pleased to possess, and we may treasure them. We may treasure things that we've been given, things perhaps that may be valuable, and we think about them too much perhaps. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes we just need to stop and think that all those things which you and I possess, God has given to us. We don't possess things because of our own acumen, because of being clever, because of being able. It's because of God's favour, and it's because of God's goodness. So if the Lord has given us things, the scripture has a phrase, we are to hold them with a light hand. That means we're not to grasp them and not willing to let them go. A light hand means that if they were pulled away, we wouldn't hold on to them. That's something you and I need to just ponder. And remember, this emanates from the heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, you see, only God knows what we think. I don't know what you think. You're all sat here this evening, I've no idea what you're thinking about. But God knows. And God knows if you are thinking about good things or if you're thinking about evil things. Well, that's in the sixth of Matthew, and in an earlier chapter, what we call the Beatitudes. You may be familiar with the opening verses in Matthew 5, which are those things which the Lord speaks about as those who are blessed, blessed. And he comes down to verse 8, and the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That doesn't mean deceitful in heart. It doesn't mean evil. It doesn't mean having wrong thoughts. It means blessed are the pure in heart, and the promise, for they shall see God. I'm sure if we're honest, we'll realise that we're not usually pure in heart. No, we're unpure. We're sinful and we're evil. We need God to come and possess our hearts and indeed to possess our mind. And the Hebrews tells us in the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, again about our heart. This is what it says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You and I can't hide anything from God. God knows everything about us. He is indeed a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you see, really, I've just mentioned a few texts there, just to support this great statement, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life, those things which are indeed relevant, and those things which are indeed important to us. What a blessing it is if those issues which come out from our heart are good. Good thoughts. That we try to do good. We intend to do good. And we come and we confess to our God our failures. It's always good to come and to confess our faults. Confess our failures. Not just pass through them and think, well, that's all right. I didn't do very well today. We should confess our faults, for out of them are the issues of life. Well, may we understand a little then about our heart. It's a very important element. It's a very important part of us. And yet often we ignore it and carry on in our own way. And the Lord gives us these statements, these truths, to test the reality of our religion, as to whether our religion means anything to us, or whether we're happy to just go along with the flow and do those things which fall into our place, not God's place, and we carry on in that way. Well, you and I, my friends, have to stand before God one day. Let's be very clear of that. When all the things that we thought, all the things that we've said, all the things that we've done will be revealed. And we'll never then be able to come and say, well, so-and-so tempted me and so-and-so did this. We shall stand before a holy God. Well, here we have this statement then. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then he goes on to speaking, and it's good to know this. You see, there is this diligence, and we are to put away from the froward mouth, and perverse lips are put far from thee. How easy it is for us to have a froward mouth. That means a false mouth, a mouth that isn't truthful. No, a mouth that speaks those things which are not right. You know, sometimes it's very easy to fall into the trap of trying to impress people. You know, it may be an account that we're telling, something that's happened in our life perhaps, something that we've seen and observed, and we may perhaps tell the story, but it's very easy to make it sound a bit more impressive, so we can just embellish it a little bit and make it sound more grand and better than it actually is. Well, what is that? It's a froward mouth. And we're to put it away from us. We're to be very honest in the things that we speak. Very honest. Because people can go away otherwise with a false impression of the things that we may have spoken. They weren't true. They were false. And in essence, underlying, they were true. But we said that which was not true. And so we find that we are to put away a froward mouth. Turn away from such things which are contrary to the truth. And don't forget, the devil was a liar. He's the one we have to be aware of. He came and told lies to Eve. By really, if you like, causing her to doubt the truth that God had told her. She remembered what God had said. God had told her she mustn't eat of the fruit of that tree, and she told the devil. But the devil told her she needn't worry, she needn't bother about that. See, he is the same today. It's what he does. He uses his skill so that we come into this category of listening to him, and we are to put away a froward mouth that agrees with wrong things and turn away from them. And perverse lips put far from thee. Perverse lips. She's speaking again things which are not good. We may know what is good, we may know what is right, and yet you see we may not speak the truth. No, it's a solemn thing to be like that and to be found with perverse lips. And therefore, we read this proverb, and perverse lips put far from thee. Don't give it any room. Don't give it any room. Put it far away. And so we have the heart and we have the mouth. And then he goes on to our eyes. Our eyes. Well, he says here, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. How much evil can flow into our mind through our eyes. Perhaps more than ever in the day and age in which we live, there's so much evil around, so many pictures and posters of things which are not good, and our eyes in a flash, they take in the information. It goes into our brain. And my friends, let me tell you this. It goes in very fast. It doesn't go out. It doesn't go out. Now I remember in my life, years ago when I was in work and I went into to a job, and the person there showed me something really evil and really sinful, and I didn't appreciate what he was showing me until I saw it. And to this day I still remember it vividly. I didn't want to. Keep our eyes. Let thine eyes look right on. Not deviate, not turn aside. You see, the devil wants you and me to see wrong things. And you and I can see wrong things. And my friends, those things stick in your mind. They stay there. And the devil churns them up and brings them back to our remembrance. And we have to pray the Lord will take them away. Sometimes the Lord doesn't see fit to take them away. And we have to learn a long and hard and very painful lesson. And so here we have a word of real warning to let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before you. That really means only to look at good things and not to be tempted to look upon bad things. It's very easy to find yourself looking at wrong things. And you will regret it. I can tell you that. You will regret it. Once your eyes have seen something, they absorb it. Sticks in your mind. Can't get rid of it. The power of sin. Oh, the devil's gone away laughing. Yes, you've been captive. You've been caught by his cunningness. My friends, never think that you're a match for Satan. Never think you're strong enough to resist the devil. You need the Holy Spirit to help you, to strengthen you, to turn away and keep your eyes looking straight ahead, away from anything that is wrong, anything that is evil. And so Solomon goes on then and tells us, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. And that means what it says. If there's a path before you, if there's something that you're being told to follow and something you're being told to indulge in, just stop. Just stop. Think about it. Ponder it. Is it good or is it bad? I suppose a very good test is to ask yourself, can you pray for God's blessing on such a path or such a situation? Can you ask God to bless you, that he might encourage you in such a thing? Ponder the path of thy feet. Yes, think about it. The devil won't want you to. He'll bring something before you, and it might seem attractive, and you might think you can indulge in it, be involved in it. Well, just stop. The devil wants you to hasten on. He wants you to grasp evil things. Well, just stop and think and pray. Oh, my friends, it's good to remember we have such glorious advice as we have here. Ponder the path of thy feet. And that, of course, can refer to many things in our life. Not only perhaps wrong things, perhaps things which may appear to be good. We can think about our life at school and our life at college and when we go to work, and we need to ponder those opportunities which are put before us, whether they are good, whether they are right, whether they will be profitable for our soul, whether they will draw us nearer to God, or whether they will take us farther away. You see how important it is that we ponder these things. Ponder then the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And of course our ways need to be established in the truth. We have the truth in the Word of God. It's very comprehensive. It's there from Genesis to Revelation. And we sometimes fail and sometimes falter because we don't know the truth, because we're ignorant of the Word of God. Whereas the Word of God is complete and encompasses everything and all the advice that you and I would need. And yet you see sometimes we're not established. We're not established. It's good if we are established in the truth of God. It's good that we're established in the doctrine of God. It's a great blessing, and it's important that you and I desire to be established in God's truth, so that we do know what is right and what is wrong. Again, the devil will say, we don't need to worry about that. It's quite obvious. You can carry on and do this and that. My friends, it's good to be established in the things of God. And you are established in the things of God as we study the Word of God. Never waste time. Always take every opportunity to read and to study the Word of God, so that you and I may be established in the truth, established in the right way, and not then found ourselves floundering in a false way and wish we hadn't done this and wish we hadn't done that. And it was purely because we were not established in the truth of God. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And then he says finally, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The Lord sets before his people a straight way. It may have difficulties, it may have trials and temptations, but God's way is a straight way. And you and I need to be in that straight way, not to turn away, especially when we think it's getting a bit narrow, and perhaps it's getting a little bit difficult, and we think, well, surely I needn't quite follow the way. Surely I can just deviate a bit. Well, the word God tells us here, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Don't listen to Satan's temptations. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. Follow the straight way. The straight way is a narrow way. It's not an easy way. It's a narrow way. But it's a way that leads to eternal life. And that's why you and I should be concerned that we are truly a follower. And therefore he goes on to finally say, remove thy foot from evil. Yes, if you're in a wrong path, get out of it. Get out of it. It may not be easy. Sometimes it may be costly. It may be costly to what people think of you. It may be costly financially. But nonetheless, if it's not the right way, remove. Remove from it. Come out from it. Turn away from it. And follow the narrow way. The important thing is that you and I are right for eternity. It's not important if you and I are right for the world. Because the world perishes. Our natural life perishes. But our soul lives forever. What a blessing it is to be found right with God and to therefore hear his word. Remove thy foot from evil. Well, we've had here tonight just a few fairly simple statements, but my friends, they are relevant to your life and my life today. And don't forget, the devil's very keen for you not to hear and to obey the word of God. That's his great aim. He won't give up. He'll pester you and pester you. But my friends, what a blessing it is. If God gives you grace, if God gives you grace, he gives you strength to do his will, so that you're able to come and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And you have a great and glorious example in the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Solomon's sacred place, where he was tempted of the devil, and he pleaded to God, to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, let this situation pass from me. He didn't leave it there. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And my friends, it's very relevant to us today that you and I may come and hear those words, the blessed example. And perhaps we have what might appear to be an impossible, a most difficult and painful situation before us. And we may come and say, if it be possible, let this situation pass from me. And the Lord may graciously do so. But if not, to carry on and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And if we do God's will, we have the answer of a good conscience. And also we have the evidence that we are one of his children. And we can look forward to believing. He's dealing with us, therefore, as sons and daughters of the Most High. And that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And as he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, for where I am, there ye may be also, and that for eternity. What a blessing. Let us never lose sight of eternity. Let us never lose sight of the relevance of the Word of God directing us in a right way. And come back to those words in the 107th Psalm. He, Almighty God, led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. May that truly be our prayer and our concern, that God will be gracious to us and strengthen us with might in our inner man to follow his way and to do his will, so that our souls may be eternally blessed. Amen.